Yo, what's good, everybody? You checking in with the Money Fiends. This your boy, Mac.
Mikey.
Val.
And we got a special guest today. We're going to let our guest introduce himself. We're actually doing our first interstate podcast. So we have traveled from Baltimore, Maryland to Camden, New Jersey. We've been gratefully invited into our guest's home, our first interstate guest, and really, you know, taking this podcast on the road. I'm looking forward to the next year, so I'm really getting it international. So we're excited and blessed to have you on, brother, and we really want you to introduce yourself, let the people know who you are, and, you know, why the Money Fiends really got on road to link with you, because you got a lot of impressive stuff going on.
Word, man. What's good? Yo, it's Who Am I TV.TV, rapper, singer, songwriter, producer. I even dabble in videography, graphic designer. We lit, man. I'm happy to have y'all here in my crib.
Let's get to it, man. Let's have some good combos.
Definitely. It's a family vibe, and you got a new project coming out, too. You got Reflections dropping. We're excited to hear that. Can you talk about kind of that process of going into that project and what you're excited to give to the listeners through that?
Yeah, so it's crazy. So I have a cousin, right? He's a drummer. His name is Trey. And, like, my family is big on, like, we have a lot of musicians in our family. So he's drummed with, like, Future. He's drummed with, like, all of these people, Meek Mill, and he was at my house, and he was telling my mom a story about meeting with Zaytoven one day. And he's like, yo, Zaytoven's on the phone with Gucci, man. And he's like, yo, send me 75,000 for this beat. He got 75,000, and he made the beat in 10 minutes. And he hopped off the phone, and he said, yo, these rappers, they don't want none of the musical stuff. They want the simplest thing possible. And from that, I took it back here. And you see the keyboard, like, you see the stuff I get into. I try to learn, like, I try to get real musical with my music. And what he told me was, like, yo, the people, they just want whatever, like, whatever you could piece together. And I know a lot about music, so I took the next 3 days, and I just made a project, like, in 3 days. I called it Reflections, because typically my projects are about stories, like, about certain periods and times of my life. But this one was just a reflection of, like, where I was at right now, having just graduated with you know, all this Black Lives Matters and things going on in the world, like, and just me, my relationship with women, like, I was just reflecting. It was all freestyle. I made all the beats, and I'm just happy with how it came out. It's a new sound. I never really touched on this sound before, so I'm ecstatic to give it to the world, see how they feel about it.
Man, that's dope. For 3 days in the lab, you was really in mode, bro. You was really in mode. I think it's very fitting that you called it Reflections too, because, and looking at your IG page, like, the first post, you know, it's like, you talking about music, and it's like 40 likes, but you could tell, like, even back then, like, 2014, 2015, mm-hmm. like, you were in mode and locked in. Do you feel like over the years, you started to look back at the journey more, or was it something that just specifically happened now in terms of, like, those Black Lives Matter movements, George Floyd, everything that's going on that made you, like, snap into that
movement? That's always been me, bro. Like, I'm always, my name is Who Am I? Like, that's my artist name. I'm about self-reflection. I'm about reflecting on what's happening in the world. And that's always been me. I listen to my music, like, my older music all the time. It's like timestamps. Like, some people got pictures. I got albums. That's going to bring me back to, you know, where I was. When that first picture you seen, it was a freshman. I was in Virginia. I just went to Virginia State, and, like, I remember you bringing up that picture brings me into, like, a nostalgic moment. Like, yo, it was my first time touching down in the DMV, new setting, new feeling, only guy from Jersey. So it's lit. That's been me, though. That's how I get into it.
Most definitely. So in terms of Who Am I, you know, what was the process that selected that name? Again, you know, from the outside looking in, you know, you have a high sense of, like, humility and understanding that you have a higher power really working through you. But what was that process going into that? Did you have any other names in the past that you create under as well?
Yeah, man. So my first name was, and this is for all my anime heads out there, whoever got into it. My first name was Sensei Trigon. So Trigon was, like, my favorite anime growing up as a kid. And that was cool. There's still some people that call me that, like, if they see me. My next name was Teddy Henson. My middle name is Theodore. My grandfather's name is Theodore. So it was, like, an ode to him. It was, like, you know, it was at a good time. But I had a conversation with my dad. I remember this very vividly. And he said, like, you know, you're really talented, like, with this music. Like, you're really good. But it's time for you to, like, represent something. Like, what do you stand for? Like, you over here with it, you over there. I'm just curious as to what you stand for. And in that moment, I wanted to change my name, because although I was giving an ode to my grandfather, I wanted something that represented me so I could find out what I stood for. I had a bunch of names, bro. I probably still got the notes, like, in my phone with all the names I had. And I'm like, yo, like, who am I, bro? And I kept repeating the question. And I'm like, no, that's fire. And it represented something more to me, because I feel like that's something everybody's trying to figure out. Like, yo, who am I? If I operated my best self, like, who really am I? And so I decided to embody that, like, with my brand, that process of trying to figure that out.
Damn, bro, that's dope. Sheesh, you're definitely ahead of your time. And just embodying that spirit, you know, one of my favorite movies, V for Vendetta, they talk about how ideas are bulletproof. And, you know, you never know who is also trying to be on that journey that you might have never even met. You could have changed your life through that music. It's exciting to be around people like that, man. So I'm going to kick it to the co-host. You know, they got some heated up questions for you as well. But yeah, bro, we're excited to have you on and you know, start to discover who are we as a podcast. Andy, well,
man, thank you for joining us. I really got one question for you right now. What is the song that got you through July?
This July. Yo, that's a good question. I mean, I'm in album mode, so I've really been listening to my album like back to back to back, playing it for different people. So I'm gonna say two. I'm gonna say one for my artist that you know, that's not me, but then one called Roses on my project that I recorded. It's just a vibe, bro. Like I grew up in church, and it gives me worship vibes, even though it's not religious at all. When I listen to it, I'm like, yo, like.
Like you're sitting in
a pew. Yeah, like I feel right it. Now. I feel it. Other than that, let me think. You gotta give me a second. That's a hard one. I've been listening to a lot of Tory Lanez, that VVS little two song EP put out, the joint called Staccato. Singing to the bank, my money's staccato. I just like that line. That joint's witty to me. Other than that, like I listen to some jazz too. So jazz. Yusuf Days, he's a drummer from UK.
Yeah.
That his whole catalog, bro, is like, I'll just be feeling it. Like, damn, that's the thing about jazz. Like, you could just feel the unison between all the different instrumentalists. I'm like, yeah. So I would say those three, me, Tory, and then the Yusuf Days has been really getting me through July. Rock with him, bro.
Speaking of Tory, how do you feel about that situation?
look, man, I'm
not. Still feel the same listening to his music?
Yes. I'm not politically correct. Yeah. I'm not one of these politically correct people. Look, this is what I really feel. No, honestly, he didn't have to shoot her. I'm gonna say that first. He didn't have to shoot her.
Definitely didn't.
But I think that she was really beating on him though. Like he's 5'1", and she like 6 foot. So I really feel like Tory wouldn't have shot her unless like it was getting heated and he had to I honestly genuinely don't think like he could defend himself against a full force Megan Thee Stallion that's mad at him and going crazy.
That's a stallion right there. That's a wild stallion.
But he didn't have to shoot her though. That's the thing. Like, there's many. He could have called security. He could have ran. Literally, like he could have ran away. I don't think he had to take it that far. But I do think there was an incident that escalated, and it has nothing to do with. I'm not canceling Tory yet until I know. That's how I feel.
We can't cancel Tory.
Fair enough. Fair
my
enough,
question
fair
to
enough.
You was, if you could travel back in time and tell your younger self something.
Dang. Yo, if I could travel back in time, and I'm talking about high school, and tell my younger self something, it would just be to be confident, bro. Like, when I was in school, I wasn't in none of the plays. I didn't do none of the talent shows. I always had it in me, but I just didn't. I was afraid of, like, what people would think. And so if I could go back, I would just say, yo, like, do that, bro. Step out. On the other side of fear, that's going to be where you're supposed to be. That's what I would tell them.
Was it that question of how are you going to represent yourself that got you out of that fear, or do you still like have that fear to this day but just overcome it constantly?
Not at all. I don't have that fear at all. I'm trying to think. What got me out of it was just repetition, honestly, bro. Like, I did it so many times. Like, I've performed a lot to the point where it's just like I'm comfortable with what I'm – you're right. Like, I'm comfortable with what I'm giving to the world. I know. Whereas before, I'm like – how are people going to, when I first started making music, I'm like, how are people going to respond to this? And now I feel like I'm at a level where I'm controlling the narrative. So like, when I hop on stage, I know how you're going to respond to it because I wrote it out in my notepad before I hopped on stage. So it's just repetition, bro.
1,000. You spoke about writing things out. Do you track goals like that as well? And what do you think about the power of the pen to paper on really getting things done versus just kind of thinking about doing things?
Bro, I wish I had all my notebooks right here with me that I filled up with ideas. Like 20 to 25 notebooks with ideas and sketches. It's just, I don't know. They probably did a scientific thing about it. But when you put it on paper, it's easier to manifest, bro. Like, it's written down. I say it all the time in like my raps. Like, I write with pen too. I don't write with pencil because you can't erase that. Like, and as metaphorical as it is, it's true to it. Like, I don't want nobody erasing nothing. Your mind, bro. You know how many songs I had in my head? I'm gonna remember that when I get to the studio. Gone, bro.
Gone.
You know how many iCloud backups got lost? I don't lose my notebooks, bro. I carry them with me everywhere I go. So yeah, I'm big on like journaling and stuff like that.
Word, that's dope. That's dope. You know, they always say, you know, the best people have their tools with them at all times. And you like Pop Smoke said, you know, you got it on. You always got that notebook going. Speaking of that, I noticed that you have a pretty dope aesthetic. You know, did it take time to develop that aesthetic? In terms of, especially on social media, it's just like you kind of, it's almost like you're looking into your soul.
Word.
You feel me? And like, you know, have you always had that similar aesthetic, or again, is it like finding it along the journey?
You're very introspective.
Word. I appreciate that. So when you say aesthetic, you mean like the entirety of it all? Yeah, I would say that I'm blessed with the family that I was born into. My sisters were a huge part in like me, even little things like fashion growing up, like whereas people would kind of make fun of what I had on, but I knew it was drip just because how I grew up. Like, I grew up around my sisters, I grew up around people who weren't afraid to like dress nice, and then next thing you know, they're wearing what I had, and it's just like I always was stubborn, my mom would call it. Like, there's a status quo, but nah, I'm not comfortable being anything but myself, and that's always been it.
1000%. So man, that's interesting. Like, you're developing, you're saying who am I, but you're also comfortable with self. That's kind of an interesting dichotomy to happen at the same time. You feel like you're confident in what you know, but you also know that you don't know a lot.
Well, let me tell you my tagline. So my tagline is supposed to go along with my name. The tagline is create yourself so the world doesn't. So a lot of people think, yo, who am I? I gotta find who I am. It's like, no, with the actions that you make, you create that. Like I said, I control the narrative. From this live right now that people are watching, they're going to have an opinion on me, but it's because I'm the one who, the action was to put the live out and speak when I'm speaking. So like, there's the middle ground, like the thing that you were talking about.
It's the balance.
Yeah.
It's the humility you have to have. What was the question you said earlier? It said, life is a test, and the test is, can you control your spirit?
Word. That's heavy.
Like, if you can keep your spirit centered, you got it.
That's heavy.
You got a cool middle ground.
That's super heavy, bro. I feel that, like, day to day. I feel that, like.
Jeez, yeah, you're dropping some heat, bro. We got a question we ask all our guests, and I want to ask you because I feel like you're gonna have a very good answer. But what is your favorite book? It could be your favorite book that you got an inspiration from. Just enjoy reading. You can list a couple as well. But we're building out a library for all the money fiend guests, and we're gonna have to come back and do another interview with you so you can sign the favorite book once we have it on hand, and it'll be a part of the archives forever. But if you could answer that for us, it'd be greatly appreciated, bro.
Man, bro. So I'm a super heavy reader. That's such a hard question. My favorite book, though, I'm going to have to say, is a book that I'm rereading right now. It's called The Way of the Superior Man. That's a fire book, bro. How it just breaks down masculine and feminine energy is just incredible, bro. I never looked at it like that before. So yeah, that's a really good book.
Where I haven't tapped into that one. You got like a, without spoiling it, you know, for the listeners, you got like a synopsis of some of the key points that you learned from the book that we can share with people.
Yeah. So essentially it just talks about the relationship between men and women and how, you know, it's all about polarity. So like masculine and feminine energy are similar to the North and the South Pole, and how you can like, we've been taught as men to like contain ourselves, especially when it comes to women, but when it comes to like our purpose, there's just certain things society has taught us, and it's teaching you how to get back to the core of who you are, like find your purpose, like those instincts that you feel in your gut, don't suppress them, instead understand them. And if you, it's like, I'll give you one main point, and this is crazy because when I read this, I'm like, yo,
So I consider myself self-disciplined. Like when I feel something is taking over my life, I cut back from it. And the book gave me a very clear understanding of the difference between self-discipline and self-suppression. And it said, like, self-suppression is just taking something away without understanding why. And self-discipline is understanding, yo, say I wanted to stop smoking for a week, understanding like the effects of what smoking is doing for me that week, and saying I choose to be my higher self other than my lower self. That's self-discipline. It's stuff like that, bro. Like, I'm real spiritual, so I love books like that. You mean
where it's like moving with intention, even if it's, you know, cutting things out. You might think that, oh man, I'm gonna miss that thing. I agree with you heavily on that. And you know, it's when you intentionally do it, it's a power in it, even if you're giving up something that is a big part of your life. But in terms of that, I want to ask you a question as well. Do you have like a morning routine that like sets your day off, starting with that self-discipline? Do you think that like builds into how successful your day is?
OD, bro. I'm going to just run through it. Boom. So I wake up 7:30, maybe, if I want an extra 30 minutes. Immediately I read. I pick my Bible every day. I pray first, then I read my Bible. And then I pick three books. So I have a stack of books that I like to like continuously read. I pick three. And then I just read like a chapter of each book. Then I exercise. I do my whatever push-ups, sit-ups, whatever. I run a mile, come in, shower. And then that's like my morning routine right there. Maybe some meditation. I used to be heavy on the meditation, but like how it's looking now, like I gotta hurry up and get to work. So I just exercise and I make sure I read. I make sure I pray. And then I make sure I try to talk to somebody I love too. That just opens up my like
appreciation for the day.
Yeah, type time. So yeah, that's my morning routine right there.
Well, that's dope. That's dope. That's actually something I've just actually implemented now too. Pretty similar routine to yours, and it's been life changing. Just setting the day off, like I'm already prayed up, read up, hydrated up, and worked out up. Nothing can faze me at this point. So what do you really go into after you get that routine done? When you get right to the grind of the day, what does a typical day look like?
Yeah, so I just got a new job. So lately, I do digital marketing for musicians. So through my company, like I'm literally running Facebook social app ads, like all day. And yeah, super tough. I'm blessed to have got that job, bro. And the pandemic is crazy. But after work, right now I'm in album mode, so I'm prepping for the album. So you saw my whiteboard over there. It's about planning out the content that I want to record. It's about planning out the ads, like how I want people to see the content, like how often do I want to post it. Studying music business, studying different, like right now I'm heavy on the ads and like press runs, like not just putting out the song, but creating the narrative around the album so that people have context. So that's what my days are like, contacting people. Yo, you want to be the videographer for this? Or sometimes if I'm stressed, I call like a friend. That's something I do. Like if I need a rest day, I just try to make it a point to call like my brothers or people that I know is going to uplift my spirits. But that's my whole day, bro. And I might cook somebody on the K in the meantime, you feel me? But that's my whole day.
Nah, I feel you. Do you ever find yourself like when you're locked in, like you forget to eat and like, or you don't even think about sleep. Like you like, nah, I'm locked in. Like 2 hours will do me justice. but it's like a beautiful, like,
it's a beautiful pause.
It's a beautiful wave.
It is. Yeah.
So when it comes to eat, yes. I used to be heavy on the like, yo, no sleep, bro. But now I get my 8 hours almost every day, bro. I'm telling you. But like, because I know I need to operate at a certain level. But like, yeah, bro, when I'm locked in, I'm locked in. Like hours can go by. When I'm here at this, like making beats, making music, literally, bro, you'll look up and it's like it's 8 p.m. and you started at 2 p.m. like type time. So yeah, when I'm in a zone of making music, bro, time flies.
Word. That's how we felt driving up here. I felt like we left Baltimore and it was, oh, I mean, we're in Philly. Oh, we're in Canada. I was like the quickest trip to Philly ever. It felt like I went up the street in Baltimore. But
that's love.
You know, we got out here. I do want to ask, do you have any like digital marketing tips for, you know, up and coming artists, up and coming creators? You know, whether it's like high school kids trying to break out of that mold, or people that have been at it for a while that are just not seeing the success yet. What tips do you have that you learned from your day job that you've been able to transition into your own craft?
Yeah, two main tips, bro. Honestly, is one, ask people around you, who
what celebrity do you remind them of? So for me, like, I play people my music, and my closest people, like my circle, I say, yo, who does this sound like? And it's not that I did it intentional, but when it comes to marketing, I want to market my music to people. Like, say they say I sound like Tory, I want to market my music to Tory fans. And it's just that simple. And that's the second thing I would say is study the GOATs, bro. Study who you look up to. Like, create a list of people, influencers, artists, entertainers that you look up to. Look at their YouTube, look at their Instagram, study the type of post they make, recreate it. And that's the thing about art, it's like nothing is original, bro. Everything is a recreation. You just have to put your spin to it. You have to make sure that your, once it's done, your imprint is on it. And that's it.
Crazy that we're really talking about this before the podcast.
We had this thing where we always say, like, man, before the podcast, it's like, we're about to make sure, it's like, before the podcast, we talked about, because we always, like,
we're talking about this morning, like, what was it that you just said?
Just pretty much nothing's original, like, just
make sure you have to recreate, you're just recreating what's already there. It's already happening. In the first few shows we talked about, it's like, we're saying, I thought I wish that we lived in the past so that I could have these ideas first and then be here now and already have the ideas. But it's just make do with what you are right now and be that person now, and you'll be that person in the future.
OD though. Nah, that's exactly how it is, bro. I believe that, like, it's a beauty to be able to build on something somebody else did, though. Like, bro, think about the first nigga who used autotune was T-Pain, bro. Now we got Travis's. Now we got Futures. Now we got so many people. Uzis. And it's like, at first, when they first came out, I'm like, oh, man, they're jacking the Future Wave. They're jacking the Future Wave. But then as they distinct their sound, it's like, oh, dang. They're breaking barriers right now. You know, you just got to be comfortable with that.
Word. No, I think that's something, especially in the minority community, that holds us back so much is the idea that you have to, like, you can't have no influence from anybody else, and like this concept of like being self-made and you didn't, nobody helped you. And it's like, bro, like we were talking before the pod, you know, we were talking about like working harder versus working smarter. It's like, as minorities, it tells us, like, you gotta work three times as hard for half as much. But my thing is, like, if we had the capacity to work three times as hard, we had the capacity to figure out how to work 10 times as smart as well. But we might have to look outside of people who just look like us, or outside of our own gender, things like that, to find somebody who can teach us those tools. But we're also lucky, especially in the creative and music space, it's like, we have GOATs that have been laying it down for hundreds of years. Jay-Z been kicking games since 96. Like, right. If you listen to Reasonable Doubt, personal development-wise, you can just listen to Reasonable Doubt, and you'll probably do pretty good in life. You can listen to Illmatic and probably do pretty good in life. And it's just understanding that it's okay to do that. Like, it's okay that Pop Smoke has some songs that sounded like 50 Cent because he was taking them to a new level. You feel me? So I'm glad you brought that up. And that's a big thing. Like, why would you try to recreate the wheel? You know, there's millions of podcasts, but we can throw on a spin on it. But we hit them with consistency and energy. And that's how things blow up. This time next year, we're going to be interviewing you at Rock Nation. You feel me? Oh, we're going to be driving up there. It's going to be like, bet. Like,
flying out the Cali.
Exactly. You know what I'm saying? I bang with that heavy, bro. I bang with that heavy.
Speaking of influences, who is your biggest influence?
In life, bro, I would have to say my dad, bro. Like, if we're just talking life in general, my father is my biggest influence. Like, he's a pastor. He owned his own church when he was about my age. And it was like a radical type of church. Like, he would wear Tim's and like jeans in the era where you had to wear suits. And just to hear those stories, I just feel the energy of, I know what it's like to trailblaze, to be the first person doing it. So for him to do it in such like a heavy space, like, religion is such a heavy space. Like, people will literally like
condemn you
to hell for doing some for him to like create that, like, that was the original create yourself so the world doesn't type time for me. So that and now he provides for his family. Like, I'm just looking at that model like, yo, I want to take that to the next level for my future kids and stuff like that. Word. So I would definitely say my pop.
That's dope. Like, as a trailblazer, you know, one thing we talk about is making decisions, and then there's an undefined amount of time where you'll be alone on a decision. But how does somebody who's thinking about, you know, let's say I want to start my own business, or I want to, you know, drop an album, but I don't really know, and a lot of people around me that, you know, love me now might look at it kind of weird and it's going to feel lonely. How do you help people like get in their mind that this there will be this time frame, but it's going to be a lot shorter than you think, and you'll attract the right people into your life by making that choice.
I just think that it's just a concept of, you know, there's nothing universally good. Like, certain people are going to like you, certain people are not going to like you. If you see a girl on the street, you might think she's ugly, I might think she's cute as hell. Like, and even getting into digital marketing showed me that a lot. Like, the people, yo, this is crazy. I was just talking to my friend about this. The people who we think are like our audience are not really our audience. The people who support us just because they rock with us personally, those are like family, friends, collaborators. But there's an actual, like, there's billions of people on the earth. There's people who are just going to see your podcast alone and rock with the content. And those are the people who I really try to talk to, because those are the people who, regardless if they know me or not, the content is going to stick with them.
Your message reached out of your immediate
circle. Yeah. So it's just do it.
You broke the barrier of your own degree.
Yeah. And a lot of people think they're... You just got to stop thinking about the people that you immediately know, because the world is so much bigger than that. Like, don't you want to travel? Don't you want to tour? Don't you want to, like, a tour is literally having a fan base in every city you're touring in. So you have to think, like, yo, bro, your friends are not the only people who are listening to your music. So, yeah, that's how I go into it, bro.
Man, that's a dope perspective. Yesterday I dropped the t-shirt on bonfire.com. Just made a design 2 days, dropped it. And it says it's personal but not solo on it. So, like, your journey is personal, but if you're doing it alone, you're doing it wrong. You feel me? But I saw some of the names come through of orders, and I'm like, I didn't even know this person was in my algorithm, like, that they actually looked at my Instagram.
Word.
And then they drop, like, they buying shirts. So I sent them a DM, like, thank you. They're like, oh, yeah, like, you know, your workouts inspire me, or, like, the scripture you share inspires. And it's just so wild to think, like, if I would have just been like, nah, my friends might not like it, so I'm not going to do it. That person might have never heard that message, and who's to say that person isn't dealing with depression or isn't dealing with, you know, suicidal thoughts, and they say, but it's not solo. And they know, yeah, I might not have ever laid eyes on him in person, but this one dude on Instagram shows me more love than the people I grew up with. There's still niggas from back home where I'm from in Minnesota that, like, I stamp, they don't really fuck with me. You feel me? Mm-hmm. Like, you're like, oh, we grew up together, our moms is friends and shit like that. But there's niggas I met last week that I know ride for, shit today that I know will ride harder for me than niggas I came out the sandbox with. Feel me? So I love that point, bro. You're dropping some heat,
bro. Nah, that's a fact, bro. That's just how it is. And, like, I just feel like it's a cultural thing that has happened over years, like, to be, you know, think about, oh, my block. Like, that's a thing that's been in black culture forever. Like, I gotta stand for my block or blah, blah, blah. Like, nah, I stand for the people who love me. The people who support me, I ride for you, you ride for me type time. And that could be next door, that could be next state, that could be next country. It's like, whatever it is, bro. So I feel.
Damn, bro. My mind is like, we were talking about that in the other podcast, how people will mess with you for insurance purposes. They won't really fuck with you on the personal shit, but they know that you're going to be something in life, so they're going to fuck with you just to insure themselves in the future. You feel me? So you got to really decipher and distinguish the two.
And I do want to say, my fault, to tie what both of y'all said, bro, when I start doing, I do this series, like this freestyle series, Find Yourself Sundays. When I start doing that, the people who were popping out the similar story to you and supporting it, I would have never thought that they was the ones who was really watching what I was doing. And I'm sorry, can you repeat what you just said? Because it made me think about something too.
The insurance policy, how people will mess with you.
I was actually going to say I'm grateful because the people who, like, rock with me, I don't feel that. But I seen it, though. I seen it with my friends. Like, I seen it with other people. But the people who rock with me, it might just be the message that I'm spitting, but, like, they generally are people like you, like people who are trying to reach a goal, and we connect on that level. But I seen it. I literally seen it happen. I seen somebody dap up my mans, and they didn't know we were friends. And as soon as he left, said, "Yo, I don't even fuck with that boy."
Yeah.
I seen it. I'm like, yo, like, it's just crazy.
That's wild. I got a question for you. Do you believe that there's competition?
Not at all. No, I compete with myself, bruh. When I drop music, yo, I got this album about to drop. I'm thinking about my last album. I'm thinking about my last album, bro. I'm not thinking about who's dropping around me. Because for what? For what? Like, we all have our own audience. Like, if you drop something, the people who are interested in me I talk about purpose, bro. I talk about creating yourself. And if you talk about, like, the trap and all that,
I'm not competing with you. And even if you're in my lane, it's like I have a certain, it, people are attracted to a certain quality in you. It could be how you look. It could be how you dress. I'm not worried about that, bro. I put out enough work to compete with myself, bro. Like, for real, for real. That's how I feel.
A thousand. It's like you hear, I read a book called The Slight Edge. I definitely recommend it to you, but it talks about the 5% that really go out and get things done and the 95% that don't. And it's like those 5% of people aren't worried about anything other than just getting better themselves because they believe all change starts from within. Mm-hmm. And if they can change themselves, they can do whatever's in front of them to the best of their abilities, and they know that that thing is going to lead to another thing. Mm-hmm. That's the thing we try to leave with our listeners. Like, yo, if you're working at McDonald's right now, yo, F with McDonald's, kill your job. Make sure that you're doing as best as possible. You never know who's watching that could give you another opportunity or a skill set that you could learn that could start a nonprofit to feed the homeless, and then that gets you city recognition, and then all of a sudden, you know, you're collabing on with the public speaker. Like, you just never know. Right. But those people that are able to, you know, lock in, I feel like all four of us are like that. Like, we're able to understand that, like, yo, Mikey could be winning at life, but I'm not going to be like, oh, man, Mikey's winning at life, so I got to just get better than him. It's like, nah, like, Mikey's winning at life. What can Mikey teach me?
Yeah.
You feel me? Like,
but you can learn from anyone, though. Exactly. And that's how, a lot of you not, bro. I'm in a party the other day, a friend's birthday party, and I met some random guy. We connected on fashion. We liked each other's outfits, and we was just talking. And every one of us has to fight this. So in my head, I'm thinking like, yo, how you doing? What's good? That's Rose, y'all. Hey, in my head, I'm thinking like, yo, why am I letting this nigga talk to me? Like, I know way more than him. This is the thoughts that are creeping up. Then I'm like, bro, in my head, I'm telling myself, bro, he's 27 years old. Regardless if you think you know more than him, he's been through, four or five more years of life than you, bro. You could learn something. Even kids, like, we got to reconnect with the kid inside of all of us. There's some homeless people, like, there's so many people who we could look at and slide off and try to give us, like, the cold shoulder. But even haters, bro, you can learn something from your haters. You just got to listen, bro, be observant. People want to be dominant. That's the problem. People want to be the one. I'm that guy. I'm the person who did it. I'm the one that made it for my city.
They feed their egos.
Bro, I'm to the bag. I'm a businessman. I'm to the most logical. Yo, if you got knowledge, tell it to me. I don't care if I hate you. What are we doing? Let's get to the bag. So that's how I feel about it, bro.
We all on the same page on that one, bro. And, like, I feel like a lot of people have a hard time wrapping their heads around, like, just service in general. Like, they look at businesses like, how can I just run it up? But it's like, if you're not serving other people, you're not helping other people, like, that, those dollars are just a reflection of you doing that. You know what I'm saying? Overall, I have a big thing that's like, when you're going through a rut or a hard time, it's like, you got a shelf right here, put your issues on that shelf, mm-hmm. and go out and just help somebody fix their issues. Like, so, right. Oh, somebody car broke down outside my house? All right, cool, I'm going to go get the jumper cables. Oh, a lady's, her groceries carried out the store? I got you.
Trash
on the ground. I'm just going to pick the trash up. Because it's like, the more service you do, and I think you embody that. You know, you're like, who am I? I can give it to the world. And that's just like the blessings that you're seeing now, and especially once the album drops, bro. I just know it's going to hit.
It's crazy,
like,
bro.
And we definitely want to hear Roses, and then we can say who that you think, we think that you know, most embody. But honestly, I know when we hear it, we're going to just be like, you most embody you.
Word.
We can be like, you might have a little flavor that you've learned from somebody else, but I can already tell before even hearing the new album that it's about to be like that.
Nah, I appreciate that, bro.
No doubt.
I appreciate that. But yeah, bro, I agree with that too. And that's the thing, like, being comfortable with creating off of other people is like, I created my own lane by studying the greats. So I ain't even gonna harp back on all.
They talk about mom, nah, 50 said get shot. He did it, why can't I? And like, is that like what you wanna preach to the kids in the hood? But if you look at it as determination, then I guess,
bro,
I was
a bad, bro. 808s and Heartbreak, I would say for sure. That was just the game changer. So Far Gone, I would say too, for me, that was like, yo, dang, I don't want to leave nobody out. I really want to put a J. Cole album in there, but I can't right now. Like, if I had to, it would be Born Center. I'm sorry. I got to take Born Center out. Acid Rap. That joint was like, yeah, yeah. When that came out, I was like, yo.
The last time, baby.
We're two Mal Daps into the podcast, and you know, Mal don't hand out daps that easily. So you don't, honestly,
I really don't be dapping up people. I'm honored.
This is our first 2DAP podcast, so you already know this one we're cooking with.
We got to keep kind of the daps, you know what I'm saying? Because, you know, you really don't just shake any man's hand.
You don't, bro.
But when you shake a man's hand, it's like,
yeah.
Talk about something, you know what I'm saying? So,
you dropped some super heat on that, and we gonna have to, you know what I'm saying, in the future, you know, here with the co-hosts, top five are. But nah, bro, it's crazy. I'll drop one that I gotta show love to. God's Son by Nas.
Okay.
My mom messed up, right? She a gym teacher.
Right.
And she used to have to like edit songs on the tape player. So she would like put the CD in and then have to bleep out all the swear words, right? In my hand.
That's crazy.
And she actually let the CD out one day. And I put it into like the old Macintosh computer.
Word.
And I was listening to it and I'm just like listening. It's just like the Get Down comes on. It's like get down. And then it just goes into like the whole album. And I was like, I think 9 years old, 10 years old. And every time she would leave the house, I would sit there and listen to it. Word. So by like 6 months later, I knew every word on the album. Word. And it's just like crazy to think like things that I would think about listening to that then at 9, at 26, I'm applying now. And I'm like, whoa. Like that's crazy. Like that's how you gonna get down. How we gonna get up? And I'm like, oh, I'm not gonna get down like that because we're not gonna uplift our people and we just trying to shortchange people or cut corners and things like that. So, well, that your top five is fire.
Yeah, bro.
It's
I judge them by Game Changers. Like I judge them by Shifting the Culture. Good Kid, Mad City shifted the culture. 808s and Heartbreak shifted the culture. Acid Rap shifted the culture. Like that's when I see albums. My top is gonna be ones that came out and everybody looked at it and like created a new sound from it type time. So
Yeah, like even 808s didn't even get the love it needed at first too. That's the crazy part. Like they were like, that's his worst job. Like even Yeezus doesn't get the credit it.
Not at all. I love Yeezus, bro. I love Yeezus, bro. Like nobody likes Yeezus. I'm like, y'all tripping. Like that's I love Yeezus, bro.
Yeezus, that's blood on the leaves, bro.
Yeah.
Blood on the leaves.
I just thought it was different.
Down too, like what?
Yeah, it doesn't like that jump.
The crazy part, so on IG the other day, I saw an interview of Snoop Dogg, and he was talking about how Jay-Z had wrote Still Dre, and that goes back to our point about being able to like collaborate. Right. You know, a lot of rappers get to like, oh, he was ghostwriting or this, that, and the third. But like to know that even back then, right at the end of East Coast, West Coast, that Jay-Z really came in and showed respect to be able to write bars for two dudes on the West Coast,
right,
and have so much respect that he could be like, hey, Snoop, ad-lib coming in here. Like, that's pretty crazy. Is there anybody in the game, you know, around the country that you met that you're like, man, I want to write for that person or help create for that person because you just respect their hustle so much?
Yeah. That I've met? No. But, like, artists that Eric Roberson. So, he's a singer-songwriter from Philly. He's, like, Philly soul. He's an older guy. He got that smooth, like, soul sound. I always wanted to write for him. He's a very close friend, like, a family friend. I've always wanted to write for Party Next Door, though. I felt like I would have the vibes. Who else? I envision writing for Drake, like, all the time. Like, sometimes I do reference tracks, and I'm like, yo, Drake would take this flow. Only because I seen what he did with the Quentin Miller thing. And, like, I don't really care about, you know, the hype that was surrounding it. I heard the reference track, and I heard what he did with it, and I'm like, yo, if I sent him some reference tracks, bro, he would probably run it up. But yeah, other than that, I really, but I do study songwriters though a lot. Neo has wrote some bangers that people don't even know, like that he wrote. Party Next Door, another person that I'm like, yo, bruh, Childish Major, I don't know if y'all know about him. He's in Dreamville, I think. He's a Dreamville producer, an artist, and he songwrites for a lot of people too. Sir songwrites for a lot of people. So yeah, bro, I look up to those type of people who can be diverse and songwrite. And be an artist at times.
It's like that having a multiple streams mindset all overall. Speaking of multiple streams, we like to ask all our guests about investments and their kind of thought processes about money and building an empire. So, what are some investments that you choose to partake in, and how do you see, you know, that investment side of your life moving forward?
Word. Yeah, so personal, this is my personal opinion. Everybody feels different. I feel like, you know, once you find your purpose, your first investment should be into that. So, like, if you're starting a business, that is an investment. You have to see it as if, like a stock. Like, yo, put money into your business. but only use it for your business. And then self-investing too. Like, and I'm not, this before stocks and everything, invest in self, invest in an education, get a trade, get certified in something, because you're going to need money coming in before your business takes off the ground. So like, when I hear investing, the first two things I'm saying is like, yo, get some type of something attached to your name, so that when you apply to these jobs, they're going to give you a sizable check so you can invest that money into your business. After that, I just feel like, what are those things called? Like the S&P, like index funds. That's like some passive things that you can invest in if you want to multiply your money over like a long period of time. But I feel like if you have a business, before you go into stocks and real estate and all that, invest into your business first, because that's the thing that's going to take longer to get off the ground. And once that gets off the ground, then you can invest in real estate. Then you can invest in X, Y, and Z. So yeah, that's how I feel about that.
1,000%, and you have direct control over the return on value. That's I feel like most businesses, they don't fail because, well, I would say it's half. I say half fail because they just don't really have a vision on like service to people. You see, even here, like software as a service companies, like things like that. And then the other half just don't have, give themselves the runway to be able to take like the pullback of business really like that it needs. Like, you need that time to be able to be like, all right, I need 5 years for this to take off. And it's not because it's not going to take off, but it's just like, that's the time I have to give it. So it's kind of like working out. It's like, if you just work out once, you're not going to see any goals. But if you're giving yourself the time to see the results, it's a lot easier to build that base. So no, I definitely agree with you, especially if you have that mindset. You really have like what you want to give to the world. Like, go and everything in it. Like, jump off that airplane and build a parachute on the way down and do that. There's a quote that I heard this week. It was like, life is only done in one thing, so whatever that one thing is, do that thing well, because it'll lead to something else.
Word.
And I'm just like, sheesh, like, that's why we drive it, you know.
I love what you're saying about service, though, man. I feel like a lot of people get into different industries for the wrong reasons. And, like, your why means a lot. Because consistency, literally, like, when I think of businesses, I literally think of consistency. Like, whatever you do or don't do, if you're consistent in it, you're going to get sales over the course of time. But the reason why people aren't consistent is because they don't love it. They don't, like, I love music. Before it was ever a business for me, it was me expressing myself. And I knew at that moment, like in those early moments, that I was going to do music forever. I wasn't even thinking like, oh, I'm going to make this X amount of bread doing it. I just knew like, this is a part of who I am, and this is what I want to do. When you say service, it's easy for me to serve because I feel connected to a higher level of my purpose through music. Some people, they just get into it for the money. And that's why you see people fall off. I was talking to somebody. I said, yo, in quarantine, everyone started a business. And I think it's dope like that. The whole black community is getting on entrepreneurship time. I'm interested to see when this is like kind of over, though. How many people, when their jobs pick back up, when they go back to school, how many people are really going to stick with it? I'm hoping it's a large amount. But I know that that's going to be the thing that separates the two different types of groups.
Word. It's a scary proposition because, you know, once your mind expands, it can never go back. So it's like, if you fall back into kind of that comfort of you started something, but then you fall back into a comfortable place, your mind is still in that place of starting and initiating something. So I definitely agree with that. Would you say that you have a life why? And then also, do you have like shorter period why? So like, you know, day by day, week by week, month by month, that switch, but then overarching, you have a why for life?
Yeah, I have a bunch of whys. Like, I don't really know the time frame. I just know that me too. Like, the feeling of me too is one of my whys. Like, when I was growing up listening to certain artists, in times where I felt uncomfortable, maybe at school or in my family, I would hear an artist say something and it would give me that, like, oh, he's going through that too. Maybe I could. So that's a huge why for my music, is just giving people that me too feeling. Like, yo, I'm not alone. Creating a being a voice for the voiceless type of thing. Another why is resource sharing. That was huge for me when I was starting. Like, listen to a lot of podcasts. I watch a lot of YouTube videos, X, Y, and Z. But I know, like, some of my peers aren't going to do that. And that's just how I was, like, how my mind works. Like, I'm very analytical. I could watch these things. So I like to recreate, like, I like to filter that content through my art and give it to the people so that they understand the general concepts and, like, can progress in their own language. So I think that's a huge why for me too. And overall, it's just moving my community up. Because, like, we've been
put down so long, be it black community, be it like young men, whatever, Christian men, like whatever. I just want us all to be, you know, progressive. You feel me?
It's interesting that you spoke on trend, you know, bringing your art into you and then expressing it to the people, getting them to understand it, and then also tying in that it's, you know, expressing, translating your language to them. Because also, before the pod, we were talking about, we were talking about how if everyone had the mindset of equity and equality, if everyone attacked life as if, how is what I'm doing affecting the next person, and how will what I do affect them in a positive or negative way? If we all just applied that, you know, these four people, five people in this room, if we can apply it, why can't the next 25, why can't the next 50? And if we're all, you know, conversing the same language, conversing is not even a word, you know, we're all talking the same language, there won't be as many problems.
Nah, I super agree. It was something that when I was studying, like when I was in my word, I read this verse and it opened up my mind to those concepts. It's like, you know, we all are part of the same body. Paraphrasing, some people are the heart, some people are the hands, some people are the eyes. But it's all a part of the same body. So instead of everyone trying to be the heart or the brain, which is what we see in society, everybody wants to be the it person. Everybody wants to be the famous rapper. As if instead of that, we kind of focus on what we're great at, instead of thinking like, oh, how can I be in front of the line? Like, yo, what part of the body am I? You know, we can all function and move as a unit. And through unity, which is something that our culture has been lacking, but we're coming. Yo, I don't know if y'all seen the stats, bro.
It's coming up.
They say like some crazy number of like our dollars are going into black owned businesses since quarantine started. I love that, bro. Yeah. I feel the energy. Like, I feel it. Like, I think it's the start of something that's going to be like permanent this time. Yeah, I love it. I love it.
So, if you had to describe what part of the body you were, what would you say?
The eyes. I would say that I've always said that I was the front line to something bigger. Like, I want to introduce people to a new way of thinking. Like, I'm not the coach. I'm not the person that's going to walk you step by step. I'm the person who you're going to hear my song or see my video and then look deeper into who you are and then find a coach and then find a mentor and do that. But I'm like the front line. I don't know what part of body that is, but like the very beginning.
Yeah. Now I think we're all
just
saying
things
like, "What part of the body?"
Fendi, bro. I used to want to.
You said that a few times. What is that?
Fendi, like facts, so like.
Like facts.
Thinking about life, right? I always use this analogy. Like, I see life like a video game, right? Like,
which video game?
Whichever. When I imagine it, though, Call of Duty. So, or let's say Grand Theft Auto. That's a better one. Why? So, because you have more options, like in Grand Theft Auto. Like, so, in order to like get to the next level, there's certain things that you have to do. However, you do have the option in a video game to just roam around, do dumb shit, go shoot shit up. But if you're like, the point of life is to like figure out, listen to that inner voice, and you know that that narrator on a game on Call of Duty, yo, flank the left, blah blah blah. Like,
I should do that.
Yeah, like,
dude, like, if I did that, I would get to the next level.
And I feel like we all got that inner voice in us that's literally leading us to where we need to go. The problem is all the distractions, like in a video game, like Grand Theft Auto. There's literally so much. But in the world, there's so many distractions too. And so, like, I don't know what you were saying that made me think about that, but I just feel like, yo, it was about your trip and how you took the trip down here, and it was just like, all right, cool, let's do it. When you're listening to that voice and you're attached to your why, certain tasks aren't
questionable.
They're not questionable.
Just go for it. And it's crazy that you say that you compare your life to a video game, because once again, before the pod, you know what I'm saying? We were talking about, I had a thought yesterday about Pokemon and Ash Ketchum. And I was like, yo, if there's one person I would look up to, it would be Ash Ketchum. You know what I'm saying? Because if you look at Pokemon, that little nigga, he really took a ball from a random dude and was like, bro, mom, I'm gonna take this jump. Just gonna go. Just gonna do it. I'm gonna catch all the Pokemon. I'm gonna do that, mom, and then me and my friends, we're gonna catch more Pokemon. But it teaches you a lot about like just the manifestation, growth, life, friendship, you know, setting goals and like just determination. If you really look at that guy Ash Ketchum. There was a tweet like, you know what I'm saying? There was a tweet like, what, like a few months ago, it was like within the last 6 months, that said, in the show, Ash Ketchum finally got all the badges.
I saw that one.
And I was like, this nigga has been at it for 20 years. Right. And he never gave up. But he got it in the end. I'm like, damn. Exactly. That's it.
I always say, I make this joke. I said, yo, I can tell if somebody ever watched like anime. By the morals.
Yeah. If they're not willing to, if you can tell if people do not understand death,
right?
And that's the main thing in anime. If they cannot determine between, okay, this is real and this is death, like, right? He's dead.
To me, it's adversity. Like, that's the one thing I took from every anime. Was like, yo, adversity. We have a goal. We're doing it, and it's always something so like Full Metal Alchemist. Like, I want to bring my mom back. Naruto. Like, I want to become Hokage. Like. It's always something that everyone says, yo, you can't do, but it keeps going. And I'm telling you, like, when I meet people who watch anime, they have that inside of them. Like,
What is my life purpose?
Yeah. And I'm going to do it regardless, like, regardless of anything.
Right. So, everyone has an origin story.
That origin is crazy. And, you know, you spoke about Naruto. That's like my favorite show ever.
Right.
There's no way you can. When all the Jinchuriki just come together, and they're like, it's just like at the end of times, and he just goes into that mode.
Yeah,
it's just like, man, that's, you know, it's not solo. Like, you need those people around, and it's just weird how, like, you know, he could say something for a whole, you know, series, and everybody's like, okay. But then you get the Shippuden, and they're like, he's been saying it for 500 episodes, and y'all just now listening.
Right. I'm gonna be the Hokage. When
he comes back, and he glowed up, and you're like, oh, he's different now. We don't even know how to deal with him anymore.
Can't even handle.
And he's like, it's cool. Message is still the same.
Right.
It's still, I'm gonna be the Hokage. Like, just follow my lead, I gotcha. And it's just like having that reserve. And I think, you know, I was one of the kids who kind of ragged on anime as a kid. Mm-hmm. I'm like, man, like, my kids want to be on Naruto early. Mm-hmm. I need them to have that spirit no matter what they do. Like, I'm gonna be the best whatever. Alright, cool. I'm gonna make it happen too. And then, like, be able to back that up. No, so yeah, you can just beat the vibe of when somebody's watching anime. It's kind of crazy. Speaking of like living in your why, we were filming a video when we came across the bridge in Canada, and I was like, yo, like, if you're really about that podcast life, you're going to get in the car to do it. If you're really about it, you're going to do 5 interviews in a day or edit like 10 interviews a week. I was like, we about to go meet with bro who don't even know that he's the bro yet, but I can just tell when we get there. And it's like crazy when you're just so confident. And it's like, bro, like, we on road for you, bro. Right. Like, and it's just wow, how all these things are coming together and just being able to meet so many people like us so quickly. Like, every guest you have, we're like, whoa,
solid.
Man, this is crazy. We're not forced nothing.
We're not. It's very interesting how we're just really stumbling into it. It's like, we ask between the three of us, we ask many questions, but they're also very broad and mostly minimal. You know, we're just like, you're here, there, you're going there, we're going there, cool. I mean, here, I mean, this person, Okay, cool. How'd you meet him? I met him through here. All right, cool, whatever. We'll meet him when we get there. Right. And then we get in here, and you're like, yo, Kim is a good-ass soul. And I'm like, that was the connection? You met her on a fucking cruise? Yeah. And you met her in school, and you're just like,